rightly this morning that, Holy Spirit, I ask that you will touch me afresh, Lord, and give me the right words to speak, Lord, this morning, that there'll be words of life and words of truth, and that we'll apply these words, Lord, and have very effective prayer lives. That when we pray, Lord, things happen. That people come to us because they know when they come to us, when we pray, things happen. Things change. We get answers to prayer, Lord. That miracles happen, that signs and wonders happen because we pray. And Father, we just ask this, that you'll increase the anointing of your Spirit upon our lives as we constantly come back to you, as we bow before you and let you reign in our lives, Lord. We ask this in the name of Jesus, that we'll be a church of prayer, a very effective, fervent, red-hot prayer, Lord, that releases tremendous power, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for this, Father. Amen. So if you'd like to go in your Bibles to, we're going to first of all look at a scripture that we looked at last week, and it's Isaiah 40. And as I've been preparing and each week, I keep asking the Lord, but we've looked at this one before, but God, you know, God has a way in which he wants to underline things to us, and very often we'll bring the same truth or the same scripture so that we hear it a number of times. That's actually how we learn. That's how you learn your tables at school. Do you remember doing your tables at school? I mean, we had a very good teacher at school that used to teach us our... because I'd memorised it so well, I knew all my tables up to 100. Or no, up to 121, because we did 1 times 1, you know, 1, 2s, 3s, 4, right up to 12s. So if you just said to me, 11 12s, I'd immediately say 121. Oh, 132, see? That's why I always got sent to the back of the class to do my tables. Let's think of another one. 12 12s. See, you're better than I am. Better than I am. 9 8s. Right, see, it's in there. Now, they don't teach children that way anymore. It's really... Oh, they do. They do at your school. But a lot of schools, they don't actually teach the traditional method of, you know, where you actually learn it by rote and it gets instilled into your brain, at least most parts of your brain anyway. So it's important that we learn and we let God teach us, and we learn things by actually going over them again and again. And this is the way the Lord teaches us here. And Isaiah 40, I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible this morning because it will help us. And starting at verse 27... Isaiah 40, verse 27. Now, we're doing a series on God is equipping us to pray. Right, he's equipping us to pray. I don't know how you're getting on in your prayer life, whether you're being helped by this series. I hope you are. If you're not, please come and speak to me afterwards, and we'll see what we can do. But the idea is that you are being equipped in prayer. We're going to pray a bit before we finish this morning as well. Verse 27, why, O Jacob, do you say and declare, O Israel, that my way and my lot are hidden from the Lord, and my right is passed over without regard from my God? In other words, he's actually saying, why have you forgotten me? Why aren't you watching over my life? Don't you understand what's going on with me? Have you not known, have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth? He does not faint or grow weary, because he's God. There's no searching of his understanding. His understanding is limitless. He knows everything. He gives, what does it say there? Strength or power to the faint and weary. And to him who has no might, he increases strength, causing it to multiply and making it to abound. So if you have times when you get into weariness, I remember a friend of mine once said, it's a friend of ours, she said to me, if you're tired, go to bed, right? Physical tiredness. If you're weary, go to the Lord. Bit of wisdom there. If you're tired, it means you need some sleep. Catch up with some sleep if you're tired. But if you're weary, go to the Lord. Because weariness is actually something that affects your spirit. It's something that affects your soul. And the devil tries to wear us down, to make us weary. And so this is what we need to do. And God says, I'll give you power. Power to the faint and weary, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. causing it to multiply and making it to abound. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall feebly stumble and fall exhausted. We're living in a day when many people are very, very weary. Even young people, they are not strong. And there's a reason for that. It's a spiritual battle that we're involved with. It says that they fall exhausted. Now, this is the key. This is what we all need to be practicing. I hope you've been doing it since last Sunday, if you weren't doing it before. But this is what we need to do. Verse 31. Those who wait for the Lord, who expect, who look for and hope in him, shall change. Do you want to be changed? Even yesterday I was saying, Lord, change me. Change me to be more like you. Change me, Lord, into what you want me to be. And it says, those who wait for the Lord, or who wait on the Lord, who expect, who look for and hope in him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift their wings. Have you got any wings this morning? They will lift their wings and mount up close to God as eagles. They'll mount up to the sun like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint or become tired. And we touched on this last week. And just to remind you that when the eagle flies, what does the eagle look for when it flies off? It's looking for those thermal currents. It's looking for those currents that will lift the eagle up so it can be lifted up without any effort at all. All it has to do is put out its wings. Now, all you need to do is put out your wings. That's your faith. That's casting your care upon God. That's putting your hope upon him. And when you do, it's like putting your wings out on the thermals. And the Holy Spirit will begin to lift you up. Because God's made a covenant to all of us in this room this morning that have believed and received him. The covenant is in his blood, that he has promised to bless us and to strengthen us. He will never leave us or forsake us. His banner over us is love. That's what we heard this morning. And he wants that love to be a reality in our lives. And it means that you can trust him absolutely. You can entrust him in every difficulty and he'll be there, right there. When you call on his name, he's there. And when you call upon his name, when you wait upon him with that kind of faith, it says that God will lift you up on those thermals of the Holy Spirit and you'll get strengthened in God. And you'll find that a new release of the Spirit will come and you yourself will be changed. You'll be a changed person. God will change you into his likeness. You will run and not be weary. And you will walk and not faint. So that weariness is removed. How's it removed? By waiting on the Lord. How do you wait on the Lord? Any suggestions this morning? Pray. How do you pray? Spend time in his presence. How do you do that? Reading the word, reading the Bible.
Worshipping
him. Giving him praise, singing to him and honouring him and declaring to him who he is. Listening to him. So there's those two things. There's a whole thing that we give to God. We read the Bible. We read the word. We worship him. We honour him. We declare who he is. We declare his greatness. We bow before him. Whatever you do, whatever you're able to do, you just give yourself to God in that time. That's between you and God alone. And then you listen to him. Listen to him. Let him speak to you out of reading the Bible. Let him speak to you in the quietness of just closing your eyes and just waiting upon God and expect him to speak to you, and he will. This is how we wait on the Lord. Anything else? Any other helpful tips and hints? Expecting. So there's an expectation. Every time you come to God, if you expect God to speak to you, guess what? He will. Because he's speaking to us all the time. He's always got words of life to speak to. Even if it's just to say, son, I love you. I'm for you. Right? That's the word of God. So God is speaking words of life to us all the time. And if we'll listen, we'll hear him speak to us. Not in any kind of wacky way, any flaky way, but in just he speaks. He just ministers life and peace and you just receive it. And it's just like listening in your own mind. You receive it in your spirit, but it filters through to your own thoughts, but it's God speaking to you. There's a difference between your own thoughts and God speaking to you, God's thoughts. But God does speak into your heart and speak into your thoughts, but it's God speaking there. That makes sense? Hallelujah. And we need to practice waiting upon the Lord. We're not going to do it this week, but maybe next week or a couple of weeks' time, we're going to talk about the whole thing of praying in tongues and the importance of praying in tongues. But another way you wait upon the Lord is praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. praying that God-given as a heavenly language, that God is a gift of the Holy Spirit that God wants every believer to have. Because when we pray in the Spirit, we're declaring mysteries. We're bringing out mysteries of God that are in our spirit. And I find it's a great thing, because it actually it says in Corinthians, when you pray in tongues, you build yourself up. You're building your spirit up. You're building your faith up. You're building your spiritual man up inside of you. When you pray in tongues, you're speaking to God. You're speaking. You're declaring things to God. And it says you're actually declaring mysteries to God. And what happens is you're exercising your spirit. And every time, you ladies know, when you exercise, you get trimmed up, don't you? And you fellas, when you exercise, hopefully you get trimmed up as well. When you exercise, isn't that right? When you ride a bike, or you're doing your press-ups, or doing your lifts, pumping iron, whatever you do. When you're doing exercises, you actually get yourself trimmed. Now, praying in tongues has been given to us as a spiritual exercise. The gift of speaking in tongues is given to every believer so that we can exercise our spirit in prayer. And I tell you, I believe that this is why the Apostle Paul says, I'm talking about it now, the Apostle Paul says in Corinthians, he says, I pray in tongues more than everyone. Wow, what a boastful man. But he was boasting in God, because God had enabled him, gifted him, to have an incredible capacity of faith and energy and strength from God, supernatural energy actually, and he spent hour upon hour upon hour praying in tongues. That whenever he went, he was actually praying in the Spirit. Most of the time he'd be praying in the Spirit. Now, you know, you talk to him, he'd be an ordinary man to talk to, but when he was away, he was in the Spirit, he was praying in the Spirit. And what happened was, when you pray in the Spirit, you're exercising your spirit and you're declaring mysteries to God. And what happens is God actually hears those prayers, even if you don't know exactly what you're praying. That's amazing, isn't it? Even if you don't know exactly what you're praying, because you're exercising your spirit, you're speaking to God, God then begins to release to you revelation. God begins to release to you scriptures will come alive to you. God begins to release understanding to you. God begins to do things simply because you've been praying in the Spirit. And for me, praying in the Spirit is one of the most effective ways of praying. We need to pray in English. We need to pray with understanding as well. But praying in the Spirit exercises your spirit and actually breaks off things that are holding you down. It releases you from things that, even things in your mind and things in your soul, in your emotions, that can sometimes cramp you in. Praying in the Holy Spirit brings a release of freedom. That makes sense. It's very, very powerful. And this is why sometimes we say, just pray in the Spirit for a while, because you'll build yourself up. You begin to hear God speak to you when you pray in the Spirit. And so out of praying in the Spirit, many things will happen, and you'll actually be more effective in your praying in English if you're praying in the Spirit, because you get understanding from God by praying in the Spirit. And I would really encourage you this week, because we're giving ourselves particularly for prayer this week, spend a reasonable amount of time, even if you do it in small bursts. If that's where we all start, praying in the Spirit for a short period of time. Just praying for 5 minutes, pray in the Spirit. And you see what the difference. You'll find that quite likely you'll want to go on. So pray in the Holy Spirit. Because what you start to do is you begin to release the well within you. It's like a well of living water that's on the inside of you. And when you start praying, you begin to release that well of living water. Would you like to do that just for a few minutes?
Yes.
Akin wants to. Let's pray in the Spirit. It's not about volume, it's about just praying with using your spirit. So I encourage you, if those of you that don't pray in the Spirit, don't worry. God will enable you. God is going to, in these few weeks, we're going to be praying for some of you that God will bring a release of the Holy Spirit, so that you will be able to pray in this language. But just close your eyes just for a few minutes and just begin to pray in tongues. It's the heavenly language that God gives to you to speak to Him. Kirabasa. Shikede lihabra sabramusto. O rabakilie namasulimaya tudibosto. Vraba sabana. Shikedea balasama. Tikeya labukubrono sarabara nekiriara dabulobo sobra. Shike. Just quietly, just pray in the Spirit and just ask the Lord to speak to you. He's already beginning to do that now. As we're praying in tongues, He's beginning to speak to you. and you begin to understand, oh yeah, God's speaking to me about this, I'm praying about this particular thing. So just pray a few more minutes, just let the Holy Spirit speak to you and show you what to then to pray out in English. Shakabraba sabra buku shike de bedi andala sabra de dekia zubra buku shike de bambara. Now just quietly pray. You know, don't have to pray this one out loud, but just pray to the Lord about the thing that God is. If He's showing you something, then just pray in this. Just pray in English now, and just declare the name of Jesus and just speak out that prayer. Just between you and God. Just to thank God for His victory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Jesus. Wonderful, Lord. Wonderful, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It doesn't take long, but even just by doing that, you begin to, there's a release that starts to come. And I just encourage you to do it this week. This is part of waiting on the Lord, where you get renewed in your strength and where God begins to meet with you and you get lifted up in God and all kinds of good things happen to you. Let's look at, where should we go now? Let's go to Luke chapter 18. I'm hesitating. There's a reason for that. You know, the disciples... Think about the disciples this morning while you're going there to Luke 18. The disciples, think about the kind of men that they were before the cross, before Jesus was crucified. They were a right bunch of men, right? They were just ordinary geezers, as Mark would say. They were ordinary blokes, and they were fishermen, and they, you know, they did all the kind of things that most men would do. And Jesus called them and chose them. These ordinary, they weren't religious men, they weren't particularly holy men, they were ordinary men, right? They were very ordinary men, and some of them were quite rough and ready, and Jesus loved them and called them all to himself, to follow him. And these, the particular 12, he had other disciples, but the 12 particularly invested his life into them for 3 years. Now, do you think Jesus must have been really challenged a few times with these disciples? Because it seemed like they weren't always learning the lessons. It seemed like Jesus had to tell them again how to believe. It seemed like he never allowed himself to be frustrated because he had faith that he saw in these men where these men were going to go and how he was going to change them. And if you think so, before the cross, they often fouled up. They would have arguments amongst themselves about who was going to be the greatest. And, you know, they'd have disputes about this, that, and the other. And they'd try and heal someone, they didn't get healed. And all the kind of things that you and I would identify with. But the difference was that after the cross, after Jesus rose again from the dead and went back to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit. And you think about the dramatic change that took place, and those men got changed inside by the power of the Holy Spirit. The disciples were absolutely changed. So much so that people said, who are these men that have come here, that have turned the world up, they've turned our world upside down. Now, these are ordinary men who have been changed by an extraordinary, supernatural, beautiful, wonderful, powerful, awesome God, and through the Holy Spirit. So these men were completely transformed. God wants to do the same thing with us. Is because these disciples, after the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came and filled them with his power and his love, they got transformed, didn't they? They changed. And I reckon that their prayer life must have gone right up through the roof after they got filled with the Holy Spirit. They got transformed and changed. And if you read about it in the book of Acts, you read about that they spent a lot of time in prayer. They spent a lot of time in prayer, and they loved one another. They demonstrated that love. They demonstrated Jesus. They demonstrated Jesus out there in the marketplace, in the town, in the city, in the cities. And many people were healed. Many were delivered from demons. And many people came actually to know Jesus, got born again. All because God changed them through the Holy Spirit. It's no different for you and me today. We need the Holy Spirit to come. Now, if you've been filled with the Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, then we have the ability to pray in the Spirit. We have the ability to do things in the Spirit. But you know, we can actually leak. We can actually drain. We can actually give out a lot sometimes in the Holy Spirit and not get refilled. This is why the Bible says, don't just wait for one experience to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, we have a powerful encounter with God, but we need to be filled with the Spirit every day. We need to go to that, go to the source. We need to fill up every day. It's like trying to run your car on empty. If you run your car on empty, as I did a little while ago, and had to call Claire out to come and rescue me, because I ran the thing, I thought, I'll get away for a couple more miles. And it stopped halfway between here and East Grinch, I think it was. And I had to be rescued with some petrol. And but we need to keep our tanks full up. We need to be full of the Holy Spirit. We need to wait on the Lord. We need to draw near to Him and spend time in His presence. So it's exciting time with God. And let Him speak to you. Pray in the Spirit and read the Word of God and listen to Him. And ask the Holy Spirit to fill you up every day. And the Holy Spirit is the person that we need. And every time before we pray, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to come and help us. Because I don't know about you, but I need lots and lots of help from God and from the Holy Spirit. And if we depend upon the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit will come and enable us to live the victorious life and to pray how God wants us to pray. Does this make sense? And God wants to transform us. That's the good news today. God wants to transform us by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the key. And we read a few weeks ago from Zechariah 12 verse 10 how that God wants to pour out the spirit of grace and supplication. The spirit of grace, that's God's power, that's God's favour, that's God enabling you to pray. And the spirit of supplication is like a very urgent, very strong, very intense calling upon God, a request to God. That's what supplication is. It's something that God puts inside of us that we then respond to God with. That's supplication. And when the Holy Spirit comes in that way, and I'm praying that he's going to do that, he's going to visit us in that way as a church, that the Holy Spirit's going to come upon. We have prayer meetings like that. We have pockets of that happening, but we need to see, actually envelop the whole church, that we have the spirit of grace and the spirit of supplication actually upon our lives as a church, where we're crying out to God, not in a wrong way, but in a right way. We're calling upon the Lord. We're crying out to Him in faith. We're earnestly beseeching. We're coming to Him with a strong request that are heartfelt and fervent, because we know God answers our prayers. This is the kind of prayer that God wants us to have. And the Holy Spirit is the one that pours out this spirit of grace and supplication, urgent request in our hearts for not just for ourselves, but for people, for this nation. You know, where we are with the nation at the moment, if we don't pray, our nation will go down the pan. If we don't pray at this time, then our nation could really, I mean, our nation is in a mess, physically speaking. But God has a word of hope of our nation that He's going to turn it around. And for Him to turn it around needs believers and churches and Christians who have faith in God and know how to pray, so that our nation will be turned around. It'll be turned around by churches who believe in Him and who know how to pray and take authority in the spiritual realm, and then demonstrate the power and the love of God out there in the towns, in the cities, in the media, in the workplace, in government and so on. But it comes, all comes through prayer. That's the point. All comes through prayer. Now let's look at Luke chapter 18. And just before we do that, let's all stand to our feet, shall we? Let's all stand. And just hold somebody's arm. Just lift someone's arm up this morning. At least one person's arm. You can hold up more than one arm if you want to. And just begin to pray. Let's ask the Holy Spirit just to come this morning and strengthen us and pour out. Just ask Him to pour out His spirit of grace, of favour, of power upon you this morning. That will enable you to pray how He wants you to pray. Just begin to call on the Lord. Just ask the Lord to do this morning. Strengthen, Lord. Strengthen, Lord. The person whose arm I'm holding, strengthen, Lord. Pour out, Lord. Pour out the spirit of grace and the spirit of power. Supernatural grace and power and ability to pray, Lord, in a new way. Lord, let their life be changed. Let their prayer life be changed today, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray, pour out your grace, pour out your favor. Change, Lord. Turn them around, Lord, in their prayer life, in the way that they pray, Lord. Cause them to have a fresh encounter of you, fresh vision of who you are, Lord. In them, Lord. Who you are, Lord Jesus, in heaven this morning. Who you are, Lord, in them too, Lord. Lord God, we pray, Lord, this morning, pour out, Lord, pour out that spirit of grace and supplication of strong, strong, urgent requests, Lord. Lord, teach them how to pray, Lord. Teach them how to pray in the Spirit, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for hearing our prayer today, Lord. Thank you that you're doing that. There's a stirring up taking place today. My brothers and sisters, in our hearts, there's a stirring up taking place today that's going to change the way that we pray. And Lord, I pray, put a hunger and a thirst in every heart, Lord. Put a hunger and thirst, Lord, for you, Lord. Put such a desire for you in our hearts, Lord, that we'll long to be in your presence. We'll long to talk to you, long to listen to you, Lord. Jesus, change us, Lord. Change each one of us, Lord. By your Holy Spirit, we pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Now in Luke 18, we have Jesus speaks about a parable. I just want to look at this for a few minutes. It says, verse 1, Luke 18. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Now this is coming from the lips of Jesus, that his will for you is that you always pray. You say, yeah, but what about work? And what about when I'm dealing with the kids, and what about when I go to the school and there's a great big argument, you know? And the Lord says you should consistently and continuously be in that spirit of prayer. If you're in the spirit of prayer, even in the midst of doing all of those things like juggling, with all the different things that we do in our daily lives, you can still have that the Holy Spirit is praying inside of you. Do you know that? The Holy Spirit is praying inside of you all the time. And that spirit of prayer needs to begin to operate in you, so that even when you're dealing with very practical things and you're speaking and the rest of it, and you're working and you're in the normal workplace, inside of you, the Holy Spirit is praying inside of you. And you can be in that spirit of prayer all the time. And that means that you keep your line of communication. It's like leaving your mobile phone on. And so, as I sometimes have done. And you can listen into a conversation. You can listen. If you ever want to hear what I'm doing when I'm driving, just ring my phone and you might find that it's been left on, okay, listening to what's happening. Now, this is how God wants us to be listening in to heaven. He wants to have a listening ear. He wants us to have our spirit constantly online with him, and so that we're talking to God and listening to God all the time. There's fellowship with God. It's amazing that we can do this. Sometimes we put God in a box and we think, well, I can't pray now because I'm not actually in my cabin or my room where I pray, or my bedroom, wherever it is that you spend time with God. But you know, you can pray anywhere at any time because the Holy Spirit is living in you. And you fellowship with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit who's living in you. Just speak to him, just talk to him, just pray in the Spirit, just listen to him, because he's praying in you and he's praying for you all the time. So just keep connection with God. Keep your connection open. And no matter what you're going through, you can constantly pray. Talking to God, listening to God, exercising authority. Jesus says, spoke this parable that always men ought to pray. Not lose heart. And it says that, don't lose heart. Now this is what most of us do at some point or another, is when we don't see an instant answer or we're up against something that looks much bigger than us, we can lose heart. And right there is the time when you and I most need to get in there with God and pray, talk to God. It says here, Jesus knows that we always ought, his will is that we always ought to be praying, talking to him, communicating with him, and not lose heart. And this, so if we're constantly in prayer, in the spirit of prayer, we won't lose heart. Okay, but when circumstances around us loom bigger than us, then it's possible if we don't pray, then we will lose heart. I guarantee it, we'll lose heart if we don't pray, because it'll just be between you and that thing that's bigger than you. But if you constantly keep that spirit of prayer up to God, then God is on side and God is bigger than your problem. God is bigger than the thing that you're facing, and prayer brings God in on the scene, brings his reign in. And so Jesus is saying this, and he brings this parable, saying there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, give me justice, or get justice for me from my enemy, from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, or I will vindicate her, lest by her continually coming she wearies me. Great story. Then the Lord said, here, this is a parable. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? What's God saying to us in this? He's saying, I want to strengthen you. He's saying, as you wait upon me, I want to change you. I want to fill you with my spirit. I want to do something fresh and new in you in the way of prayer, releasing the spirit of prayer. And he's saying here in this parable that we always need to pray. It's his will that we pray, and we need the Holy Spirit. We've already said that. We can't do it in our own strength, but we need to say, Holy Spirit, please help me even know how to pray here. I call upon you, and the Holy Spirit will come and help us. Let me just read it in the Amplified Bible just for a minute, these few verses. Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to turn coward, faint, lose heart, and give up. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither reverenced and feared God, nor respected or considered man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, protect and defend and give me justice against my enemy. Now prayer is about bringing God's victory against our enemies, whatever those enemies are. Okay? We have an adversary. Right, and it's saying here that we need to pray because we have an adversary, we have an enemy. We have the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's why we must pray, so that God's will is done, and that this widow is asking for the judge to protect, to defend, and give her justice against her enemy. So it's highlighting that there's a spiritual battle here against an enemy. That's what prayer is. Prayer is bringing the kingdom of God in to an area where there's an enemy there. So let's say someone's sick. The enemy is there in sickness. God's not in sickness. God doesn't make people sick or ill. That's something as a result of the curse and the fall. And it's certainly not God's will. Jesus healed everyone that came to him. So we know it's God's will to heal, don't we? So we need to pray for people that are under that a sickness or an illness of any kind, because there's an enemy there, and the enemy is sickness has got in there. And so we need to pray that God will then come and we exercise God's authority and God's word to see them get healed. And in verse 4 it says, and for a time the judge would not answer, appeared not to answer her pleas. But later he said to himself, though I have neither reverence or fear for God, nor respect or consideration for men, because this widow continues to bother me. Right? This is a picture of persevering prayer. This is someone who pesters God. Do you know God loves to be pestered? God loves to be bothered by people who go and pester and bother him with their prayers. Not their whines, not their unbelief or their complainings, but with their prayers of faith. God loves it. I can hear God saying in heaven, bring it on. Let's have some more, because God loves answering prayer. That's the reason. He loves answering prayer. And here's this is a story Jesus is telling to make his point, that here's this widow, that she is pestering the judge for justice, that, to get an answer for her situation that has an enemy there. And the reason he answers her isn't because of her situation, but because of her persistence. And that's the point. God wants to make us tenacious, like a dog with a bone, that we won't let go until God answers, right? So we have this, we refuse to let go until we see God move. We refuse to back off until we see God do the thing that he's said he's going to do. And he will. And so the judge answered because of her bothering him, her pestering him. Hallelujah. I will defend and protect and avenge her, he says, lest she give me intolerable annoyance, wear me out by her continual coming, or at the last she come and rail on me or assault me or strangle me. This is the Amplified Bible, right? This is what it literally means. This is what Jesus was talking about. He was saying that's how persistent this widow was, that this widow was becoming threatening. Now, this is talking about really having strong, aggressive prayers of faith before God. We lay hold of God for the answers until they come. God loves that kind of boldness, right? He loves that kind of faith. When we're not telling God the problem, that's not prayer. That's complaining. That's negative talk. But when we come to God with prayers of faith, God releases, right? When we declare what God's will is, when we declare what God's will is, God hears the cry, and it says here that he'll come. And the Lord said, listen, this is what Jesus said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not our just God defend and protect and avenge his elect? When God hears these kind of prayers, when we're praying to God, he says, I will hear your prayer, I will defend you, I will protect you. And this goes for you and yours, right? You and your family, and those that are part of you. It goes for us as a church when we pray. He says, I will defend and protect and avenge you speedily. And I believe, you know, that God wants to answer us. It says it here that he says, I'll answer you speedily. Just this week, Alistair was in bad form, was in bad shape earlier this week. But through prayer and through not just my prayers, but through the prayers of God's people here, we saw a transformation really take place where the enemy was pushed back and where God's restoration work was brought in very speedily. So much so that when I went to visit him in the hospital the other day, they said to me, you know, what we've got down here on paper is like a different person than the one that we're actually seeing here. So I said nothing, because it wasn't the time to say anything. But I knew the reason why is because we prayed and we saw God bring the word, bring the truth, and then bring about a restoration. This should encourage us. Your prayers are heard by God. Yes. God hears your prayers, and he will answer speedily for those things that are according to his will. I tell you, he will defend and protect and avenge you speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find persistence in faith on the earth? And so God is saying to us at this point, at this time, all of us in this room, probably, most of us in this room, will have something that we're being tested on, something that is bigger than us, that we can't change. Humanly speaking, we can't bring about a change, whether it's for us or for others. But God says, if you'll pray like this widow, if you'll get hold of God like a persistent widow, and you pray my word, pray the word of God into being, God will answer you, and you'll see a deliverance will take place. We need to understand that when we're praying, we need to understand sometimes we don't always see that there's an enemy at work behind this thing. We need to discern. We need to ask God to help us to discern when there's spirits involved. I don't see spirits in everything, but I do discern when there are spirits involved in something that's happening, where there's something that demonic that is taking place. And we need to discern those things. We need to understand whether this is a physical thing, or is this a spiritual thing, or is it a mixture of both things? We need to understand. So then we begin to pray with faith. But I want to encourage this morning, where you need answers to prayer, make this week the widow's week. Amen. Right? Let's call this week the widow's week. The widow's week. The week of faith. The week where we persisted and bothered God. The week when we brought our request to God, and God says, I will hear your prayer, I will avenge you, I will vindicate you, I will vindicate that person that you're praying for, I will rescue them, I will deliver them from all their troubles. When you pray with that kind of persistence, sometimes, you know, it's important that we link up with somebody else and just so that you pray the prayer of agreement. If you're struggling in prayer on your own, get with someone else so that you pray in agreement. You don't have to tell them everything, but get into agreement in the name of Jesus. Pray the prayers of agreement, agreeing what God's word is for a start off. Sometimes we can be praying the wrong prayers. Some of you can pray for years and years because you're praying the wrong thing. That what you thought was God's will, or actually not so much what God's will is, but how God's will should be attained. Sometimes we go about it the wrong way. And we wonder why our prayers aren't being answered, because we're praying the wrong way. We need to pray in the right way. And we can do this when we come to God with our prayer requests. Can I just finish with, let's go back to a scripture we looked at the other week, which is Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6. And I would encourage you, you know, when you listen to these messages, that jot down these scriptures, make a note of them so that in your own time you can look over these scriptures and read them for yourself and think about them and let God speak to you about them, because they'll give you life. And it says here, Ephesians 6 and verse 10. I'm going to read this from the Amplified Bible, actually, because it just brings out some things from the original Greek, when it was written in Greek. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Just turn to someone and just say, just tell them, be strong in the Lord. Be strengthening God. Amen. Amen. I would say that. Be strengthening. Just tell them, be strengthening God. In the Amplified Bible, it says, be empowered through your union with Him. Be empowered, be strengthened through your union with Him. If you have a strong relationship with somebody, there's a strength in that relationship, isn't there? And God says, in your relationship with me, because you're close to me, and because I'm close to you, you can be strengthened, empowered through your union. It's like a marriage. A couple that are together, that love one another, that are close together, there's a strength in their union, right? God wants to strengthen our unions in our marriages. He wants to strengthen our union in this body, as friends, in our relationship. He wants to strengthen our union of friendship between us, because the Holy Spirit's love and power is released there. Be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him, that strength which His boundless might provides. So you can draw strength out of your union with Christ, out of your union with the Holy Spirit. Put on God's whole armour. The armour of a heavy-armed soldier, which God supplies. Paul, you know, was talking about the Roman soldier, and he had he was actually, when he wrote this, he was in prison. So he knew all about the soldier, and he knew what the soldiers were wearing and how they were armed. And so he uses this, God uses this as a wonderful picture to showing, you know, you need to be armed. The church needs to be, God's people need to be armed with the armour of Christ. And it says, put on God's whole armour, the armour of a heavy-armed soldier which God supplies, so that you may be able successfully to stand up, not to fall down, but to stand up against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. Right? God wants us to stand up against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. Because we are not wrestling with flesh and blood. And this literally means, it's like an eyeball, eye-to-eye contact with the devil. It's like, it's not something that's at a distance where you can, you know, but this is a wrestling match. This is a face-to-face, an arm-to-arm combat. It says, we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. We're not contending with physical opponents, but against the despots, against the powers, against the master spirits, the world rulers of this present darkness. In other words, demonic forces, demonic spirits, even the devil himself and all his hosts, against the spirit of forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. Now, we don't have to concentrate on them, but we need to know that they're there. And we need to know that we're in a battle against them, because they're the ones that cause the problems on the earth through people. That's why we need to pray. Therefore, put on God's complete armour, so that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger, and having done all the crisis demands, to stand firmly in your place. Stand therefore, hold your ground. That's for somebody this morning. Hold your ground. Don't give way to the devil. Don't give way to that temptation. Don't give way to those things that are concerning you. Don't give way to them. Stand your ground. Hold your ground. Having tightened the belt of truth around your loins and having put on the breastplate of integrity and of moral rectitude, righteousness and right standing with God, and having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. That it's the shoes of the gospel, right? The boots of the gospel, gospel shoes. Lift up over everything the covering shield of saving faith upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. It's talking about faith, that faith is like a shield. That when you respond in faith, faith in God's word, you quench every fiery dart of what people spoke to you, of what attacks in your mind that come to you, thoughts, suggestions that didn't come from you. Put up the shield of faith and quench those fiery darts, because that's what they are. They're a fiery dart sent to do damage against you. Put up the shield of faith and quench the fiery darts, right? And they will fall to the ground. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword that the Spirit wields. The sword that the Spirit wields, that which is the word of God. And we're just going to finish on this morning, that God wants us to, again, when we pray, don't forget the word of God. Use the word of God in your praying. Take the word of God. It says, take the sword of the Spirit, or the Spirit wields the sword, which is the word of God. So what we're saying is, here's a need that comes up. Here's a need. I don't know how to pray. I didn't know how to pray to start with for Alistair. And I prayed in tongues, and I just waited on God, just quietly. And then God showed me how to pray. And God showed me some things, and then I knew exactly how to pray with authority. And then that thing was taken away. I saw it being taken away. And then God brought his light began to shine in. So I prayed that. I prayed His word first. That's what I'm saying. Prayed in the Spirit, pray His word. So when there's a need, what does God's word say? Find out what God's word says about that thing. Ask God to speak to you as well, personally, prophetically, to give you something so that you see what you're to pray. And it says that the sword that the Spirit wills, which is the word of God, and it says in verse 18, pray at all times. So there's a link here. The sword of the Spirit is talking about the word of God, which we pray. Does that make sense? Amen. The sword of the Spirit is talking about the word of God that the Holy Spirit uses when we pray. And then we pray all kinds of different kinds of prayer and in the Spirit with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert, keep awake, be watchful, and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. Amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit wants us to draw near to Him. He wants us to come to Him. He wants to change us so that we become like Him. And if we're going to have effective prayer lives, we need the Holy Spirit. I'd just like us to stand and ask that the Lord this week will make us like that persistent widow that Jesus spoke about, that we'll persist in prayer, we'll persist by the Holy Spirit's grace, and we'll begin to pray God's word into being. This makes sense. Find out what God's will is, find out where it says it in the word of God, and then use God's word and the prophetic things that God shows you, and then pray them into being. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just give yourself afresh to God this morning. Thank you, Lord. Just begin to pray. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Just lift your hands to the Lord. And Lord Jesus, we thank you. We praise you. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord Jesus. 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 We thank you, Father. I'd like us just to pray for the whole church this morning. Michelle's got a scripture from Psalms which really fits with what we're going to pray. So, Michelle, do you want to just read it? Read this out. And then we shall pray.
Yes, the Lord wants our expectation to be that we are protected.
Amen.
And that we're not to expect attack. And there is a roaring lion, but we are protected. And the Lord wants us to claim Psalm 91.
Yes.
As we right now and as we go through the week, knowing that we are protected, and this is a sword. And as we read out Psalm 91, there's supernatural life covering us. So we thank you, Lord. Your word says those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him, for he will rescue you from every trap and protect us from deadly disease. He will cover us with his feathers. He will shelter us with his wings. His faithful promises are our armor and protection. We will not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at our side, though 10,000 are dying around us, these evils will not touch us. Just open our eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer us, no plague will come near our homes. For he will order his angels to protect us wherever we go. They will hold us up with their hands so that we won't even hurt our feet on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under our feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you, Lord Jesus. I just pray, just begin to pray out now. Just begin to thank the Lord for the truth that's in that word right there. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Just lift your voice to God this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you today, Lord. Secret place of the Most High, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we abide under the shadow of the Almighty this morning, Lord. Thank you, there's a protection under you, Lord. Thank you that we're in Christ Jesus this morning, Lord. Thank you that we're in you and you're living in us, Lord. Thank you, you're our refuge and our fortress, oh God. Lord, I will trust in you. Just declare that this morning. God, I trust you. I will trust in you, Lord. I will trust in you, Lord. I will not fear. You will deliver me from every snare of the enemy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I can walk in that protection today, Lord. I can walk in that protection this week. We declare your protection, Lord. We put up the shield of faith over the church here today, Lord. Over every life, Lord. Every person, Lord. Every child, every family. We proclaim the power of your blood, Lord, over the whole church, that we will know a new release of your presence and of your power, Lord. That you pour out your Holy Spirit amongst us afresh, Lord. That you show us, Lord, the authority that we have in your name, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your word says that because we've made you our refuge, we've made you our dwelling place, because we have done that, Lord, no evil will befall us. No plague will come near our dwelling, Lord. You put your angels around us to protect us, Lord. Thank you that we can trample the enemy under our feet. Thank you, Lord, your word says that you give us power over all of the enemy.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, that we're in Christ Jesus this morning, Lord. Thank you that we're seated in heavenly places. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us your word. You've given us your authority over all the power of the devil, over all the power of the enemy. Thank you that when we pray, Lord, you listen, you hear our prayers, Lord. Thank you, you're waiting to see if we'll believe your name, believe in you, Lord, and proclaim your word, Lord. And just these last couple of verses, it says in verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver. And just declare that to God this morning. Lord, I set my love upon you. I set my love upon you. I set my hope upon you, Lord. Hallelujah. I set myself upon you, Lord. I set my love upon you, Lord. You are my love. You are my priority. You are my Lord. I set my love upon you, Lord, and you will deliver me. You set me on high because I have known your name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Just thank the Lord this morning that when you call upon him, he answers you. Hallelujah. He answers your prayers. He will answer you in the day of trouble. He delivers you. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And just as we finish this morning, I'd like us just to give a great big shout of triumph this morning. It says, shout unto the Lord with a voice of victory. And we're just going to do that in a minute because we're declaring the victory of God, not just in our own lives, but in the lives of others and the lives that we reach this week. Let's not forget that there's lots of people out there, our neighbours and friends, people who don't know Jesus, and we need to be interceding and praying for them. We need to be praying for our nation this week as well, that God will turn the tide, the Holy Spirit will move afresh. So are you ready to shout the shout of victory? Because Jesus is reigning. Amen. He's given you victory. He's given you his name and the precious blood of Jesus. He's given you his word to pray with this week so that you can know his victory and declare his victory and use it as a sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God in prayer. So on the count of, should we say three? One, two, three. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus, we pray.